This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Why? Never again is the rallying cry of all of the people who fight to prevent another Holocaust.
The amount of millions of people that died was absolutely unnecessary, and it was something that we should never ever repeat again.
Now you guys have heard of Arnold the Schwarzenegger.
I'll be back.
I don't have to get into who he is. Most of you have watched many of his films.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Recently, he was asked about what's happening in Gaza.
What do you do about the Israel-Palestine question?
And Arnold Schwarzenegger gave his response.
I think that what the Biden administration is doing is the right way to go. You know, I think that we have to acknowledge that Israel was attacked viciously, unprovoked. I'm 100% with the Israelis in this case, but...
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Go ahead and subscribe right now. Hit that notification bell so you don't miss exciting programs just like this one. Now, my question to Arnold the Schwarzenegger is, have you seen... Arnold, look, have you seen the thousands of innocent human beings? The latest count, and it keeps going up, was over 8,200 innocent civilians. You got over 3,300. The number just keeps going out. It's like every day kids are dying. You got so far over 3,300 innocent children, over 1,800 innocent women. And we as Muslims, we have the Quran and what's called the Sunnah. And this is easy for us. We don't justify, even in war, at any time, the killing of non-combatants. This is clear. Killing one innocent being. It's in the Quran. Is as you kill the whole of mankind, saving one innocent life, as if you saved the whole of mankind. And if you didn't know the instructions that Prophet Muhammad gave when in a battle, he prohibited killing innocent human beings, non-combatants. So Arnold, we're not connected to any political party. We are doing this sincerely to help, no matter on what side it is, innocent human lives, innocent children, to help be a voice for those who are voiceless. So I'm asking you that question. Have you seen this, Arnold, beyond the mainstream media narrative? Have you taken a deeper dive, a deeper look into this? Are you seeing the footage that is coming out of all these children with just being dismantled, body parts all over the place? Have you? Arnold Schwarzenegger also had an anti-hate message that went viral.
Why? Never again is the rallying cry of all of the people who fight to prevent another Holocaust.
I was just kind of confused why he didn't, why you didn't, Arnold, address the hate that's coming out from the country that you endorse.
Here! Get the out of the country! This is Jewish country only. We don't need Muslims here.
The godly thing to do. We respect one another.
The godly thing to do is to kill you.
The godly thing is to kill me.
That's right. That's what the Torah says.
The Torah says to kill us.
The Torah says that people who worship idols such as yourself, when there is a Sanhedrin,
to kill us.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what the Torah says.
So we know how the Jewish people feel about Christians, yes? That you discriminate against Christians.
Christians are idol worshippers.
You discriminate against Christians.
The Torah says that Christianity is idol worship.
Before Israel, 1948, it was Palestine.
Yeah.
No, it's called Israel.
No, it was called Palestine before 1948.
Maybe it is.
And it still is. Right now, it's occupied Palestine, yes.
Yeah.
I wish IDF promoted them, okay? And I wish the IDF would find you and kill you, okay?
Why?
Okay.
No,
Israel,
I didn't know.
The motherfucker, only Israel, no Palestine. And if you talk it like again, I will f*** you in your ass, okay? Motherfucker.
Wait, does he kill innocent Palestinians?
I kill every Palestinian I see.
So every Palestinian you see, you kill?
Every Palestinian I see, I just...
Because us, we don't say, hey, we stand by a certain political party, a certain party, a resistance party. You're not hearing us say that. So the people who are saying, look, we stand with...
I'm 100% with the Israelis.
This Theodore Herzl... prophet who organized and made this state, and then you're standing behind this, you're endorsing this. Now you are the one who should be answering the questions. Do you endorse the killing of innocent human life? It's kind of like, you know, if you had a school shooter came in and he came into a public school with hundreds, let's say thousands of kids in there in an auditorium, and next thing you know, would you endorse for the whole building and everybody in it to be just annihilated, to be killed? I mean, to be bombed. I mean, would you? Does that make any sense? But this is what's happening, and then excuses obviously are being given.
But this was not unprovoked. This was provoked by decades of occupation, of killing, of surveillance, of prison camp. You know, what's your answer?
Look, I mean, I'm sure that always people would have an excuse
to justify it. So in this anti-hate, you included so many people in this.
I've seen enough people throw away their futures for hateful beliefs.
It was more geared towards your visit, you know, to this evil event that happened. And this was something that the Jews at that time, look, don't take it from me. Take it from a rabbi. Let's go to this clip and you can actually see the history here. And you can go, this is what I'm talking about, taking a deeper dive, have you? Because if I start talking about how Jews have always fled persecution from actually Christians, sad to say, and they've come to the Muslims, they have seeking refuge, they flourish. Let's take a second to look at this clip from an actual Jewish rabbi.
Until Zionism came about, Jews flourished as distinctly religious Jewish communities, and they weren't massacred. On the contrary, they went to these Arab and Muslim lands to escape persecution from the Crusades, from the Inquisition, and from many other trials and tribulations, and and even World War II. The Arab and Muslim lands opened their hearts, opened their lands, and provided a safe haven and a gracious hospitality for the Jewish people. Clearly, we have different religion, and yet we were accepted in these Muslim and Arab lands. We believe in one God, and we were accepted. We have different ways of serving God, but yet, we were respected, and even the Muslim religion requires of that, the Muslim people to provide protection and hospitality, and they did carry that out. That's clear. Nobody could refute this fact.
So this is historically documented. And you can also look at the history when Muslims were ruling Jerusalem, when they were in charge. You had peace between Muslims, Jews, and Christians. It wasn't all of this bloodshed and all this injustice that's happening now.
When the Islamic warrior Saladin conquered the Crusaders, mm-hmm. and took control of Jerusalem, all right, he entered into an agreement that the Muslims would protect the Christian churches. And so he appointed two Muslim families. Both of these families had been in Jerusalem for close to 1,000 years, and each generation has passed down
the key.
The key.
And this is a Muslim. I mean,
yes.
Adabid Judah is a Muslim. And he said it's a great honor for a Muslim to hold the key to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is the most important church in Christendom. That's not disrespect. That's,
See, we don't hear this in America. Location. We don't hear, because what we have been told is Christian Americans, and you should hate Muslims, you should kill Muslims.
Because they're going to tear down all the churches, yes. and basically just ransack them and everything else. But here we have two families that for nearly 1,000 years have actually been watching over,
yes,
Christian churches.
That's right. So who planted into our minds here in America that we should hate and kill Muslims? Who planted that thought in our head?
So Arnold, what about the anti-hate towards the people there who are in an open, I wouldn't even say it's a prison, because even prisoners have certain rights. We're talking about, this is one of the largest concentration camps that they're in right now.
I toured Auschwitz, the Nazi concentration camp.
So you went to go see what was done in history. You're seeing it now repeat itself. Why aren't you speaking up, Arnold?
Why aren't they crying for peace?
Peacemakers.
Why aren't they calling for peace? Why aren't they negotiating? Why aren't they putting pressure on Israel? You have to stop treating the Palestinians like they're animals. You say you're the children of God, but you treat the Palestinians like they're rats. Why aren't these Christian leaders telling the Jewish Zionists, this is ungodly? You say you're the chosen people of God. You can't behave like this.
Now, you did say that Palestinians have a right to live.
The Palestinians have a right to live.
It's very nice, but let's unpackage that, Arnold.
I'm Israeli Jewish, American as well. My partner is Palestinian, and I can do things that he can't do. I can travel quite freely, and even though his mother is a refugee from what is now Israel, he can't pass areas that are off limits to Palestinians. I have excellent rights, I have health. There are cities in Israel being built for Jews only, and also in the West Bank, settlements being built for Israeli Jews only, while Palestinians are hemmed in, unable to build cities, and their homes are being demolished for lack of permits that are almost impossible to get. The Israeli authorities are engaging in forcible transfer, where they remove Palestinian communities in the West Bank to make room for settlements. All of these are part of the root causes of the violence. There's terrible abuses going on. You just have to listen to what people on the ground are telling you and adjust accordingly.
Let's unpackage that. That right to live, is that what's something that you'd approve of? Do you endorse that they live under two sets of different laws? One for the followers of Theodor Herzl?
Is actually to maintain an apartheid system. Very early on, I understood that the rights that the Jewish settlers have are not the rights that the Palestinians have. I understood that I cannot touch a Jewish settler if he is attacking a Palestinian. The best I can do is call a local police department to come handle it, like I would do at home in Jerusalem. So these Jewish settlers that live in Hebron are living under the same rights that I live in Jerusalem, but the Palestinian next to them, next house over, next building over, sometimes next apartment over, lives under my rule, my military rule. And I can do whatever I want with him. I can take his home as a temporary base for a few hours to a few days to a few weeks. I can decide that I'm arresting the people of the house and tying them up to defense of my base. If you will get an order to demolish their home or just lock their front door and don't let them out into the street their house is on, a street that only Jewish settlers can walk on and Palestinian cannot. So they have to walk through windows to yards into the other side, into the Kasbah of Hebron. I think realizing all of that in a very, very early stage in my service helped me understood that someone was lying to me along the way. I didn't feel like I'm protecting anyone. I didn't feel like I'm helping anyone feeling more safe. I feel like I'm terrorizing people.
Two sets of laws for two different people. Do you agree with this? Do you endorse this, Arnold? Don't take it from me. Let's look at people who are also part of the terrorizing of these innocent people, what they have to say.
You have 650 combat soldiers on a day-to-day basis, and I was one of these 650 soldiers for a while. And that's their job, to make their presence felt. You start your night shift patrol 10 o'clock till 6 o'clock in the morning, 8-hour shift. Walk in the streets of the old city. Break into a house. It's not a house we have intelligence about. A random house. I'm the sergeant. I lead the patrol. Choose a random house. Break into the house. Wake up the family. Men one side, women the other side. Search the place. You can yourself imagine the dynamics. What happens when you break into a family, 2 o'clock at night, wake everyone up, search the place, finish, go out to the street, knock on some doors, make some noise, run to the other corner of the street, invade another house, wake up the family, search, go out, run to the other corner of the old city, another random house, and that's basically how you pass your 8-hour shift. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from September 2000, when the second Intifada started, till today, it didn't stop for 1 second. Yeah, the idea is very simple. Every Palestinian needs to feel the military is right here. Yeah, you never know when we're going to show up, when we're going to start, when we're going to end, how many we're going to be, what we're going to do. It's to do what we call in the military, ליצור תחושת נרדפות, to create the feeling of being chased.
Can you imagine that? These were people, it's their job.
Every Palestinian needs to feel the military is right here.
X on the back of these innocent people. Can you imagine someone coming in your house, terrorizing your family? This was the guy's describing. This was his job. So are you okay with this, Arnold?
I'm 100% with the Israelis in this case.
Two sets of laws for two different people. It's called apartheid. You've met Nelson Mandela. You met him. What Nelson Mandela had to say about this, about the Palestinian people. His work continues also with his family members. Let's take a look at what his grandson has to say about this.
We can no longer stand idle while we watch our brothers and sisters being murdered by the Zionist state of Israel. Apartheid has been declared a crime against humanity, and apartheid Israel is an apartheid state.
Arnold Schwarzenegger also, he mentioned that it's something we should never repeat again.
Just say to people that the atrocities that were committed, the amount of millions of people that died, was absolutely unnecessary, and it was something that we should never, ever repeat again.
Again, he's referring to the Holocaust. This was something evil. Islam condemns this. Muslims condemn this. But now, things like the Holocaust are evil. What about the Muslim, also Christians who are there, who are going through the same thing? Will you speak up against this, Arnold?
More recently, in 2012, during a 60 Minutes piece, the late Bob Simon dared to report on what day-to-day life is like for Palestinian Christians who live under Israeli occupation.
Israel has occupied the West Bank for 45 years, turning the little town where Christ was born into what its residents call an open-air prison. Christy Anastas lives with her mother Claire, her father, brother, and sister, in this house, which is surrounded on three sides by the wall.
How do you live with this?
Simon's report was seen as so unusual and so incendiary that Israeli Ambassador Michael Oren actually tried to spike it, censor it, leading Simon to directly confront him on camera.
When I heard that you were going to do a story about Christians in the Holy Land, and my assumption, and had, I believe, information about the nature of it, and it's been confirmed by this interview today. Nothing has been confirmed by the interview, Mr. Ambassador, mm-hmm. because you don't know what's going to be put on air. Okay, I don't. True. Mr. Ambassador, I've been doing this a long time, and I've received lots of reactions from just about everyone I've done stories about, but I've never gotten a reaction before from a story that hasn't been broadcast yet. Well, it's the first time for everything, Bob.
Arnold Schwarzenegger also mentioned how the German people were lied to.
And that we can learn from those mistakes of miscommunication, how the people in Germany were lied to.
And how we can learn from these mistakes.
And how now, people are running around and trying to spread those kind of lies in America and all over the world.
But we're seeing right in front of us unfolding the lies, the atrocity propaganda.
And the direction and the motivation of hatred has never really paid off. You know, I think there's a better way of going, and this is to come together and not to villainize each other, but to come together and to figure out a way how we can coexist.
And how it's being repeated over and over and pushed by the mainstream media. And this is helping to dehumanize the Muslim, Christian, Palestinians over there, so then they can go ahead and fulfill the agenda. So they can go ahead and make it easier and get the support from the American public and the world to go ahead and continue with this ethnic cleansing, with the extermination, the Holocaust of these innocent children. Do you approve of this, Arnold?
One goal, Nakba, a Nakba that will overshadow the Nakba of 48, Nakba in Gaza, and Nakba to anyone who dares to join.
I mean, you know this well, the propaganda machine, the atrocity propaganda at that time, how the Jews were called rats, how they were called and made, they were called disgusting names. And what happened? They were dehumanized, they were oppressed, and now it seems like the oppressor has become the oppressor. And you have so many Holocaust survivors and others who have tried to come out and speak against this. They've been demonized.
And I found out that it wasn't exactly like that. That in order to make this Jewish dream a reality, we had to visit a nightmare on the local population. And there's no way you could have ever created a Jewish state without oppressing and expelling the local population. Jewish Israeli historians have shown without a doubt that the expulsion of the Palestinians was persistent, it was pervasive, it was cruel, it was murderous. and with deliberate attempt. So that's what's called the Nakba in Arabic, the disaster or the catastrophe. There's a law that you cannot deny the Holocaust. But in Israel, you're not allowed to mention the Nakba, even though it was at the very basis of the foundation of the state.
No. You have Israelis and Jews.
Okay, it feels important to say this. I am not pulling my perspective on Israel-Palestine out of my ass, okay? I'm not just guessing that Israel is committing a genocide against Palestine. I have studied and researched this. I have bona fides, and I will share them. First of all, I'm a Jewish woman. I was raised by a Zionist family. My grandfather was a Holocaust survivor. My family talks about our spirit of resistance and resilience constantly. Desiring goodness from the nation of Israel is in my blood, and still, I can see that this Zionist state is vicious, violent, and evil. If someone who was raised by a Zionist family, by people who believe that Israel has the right to exist and that it is our salvation, if I can overcome my pro-Israel bias and learn about this conflict, so can you. And frankly, I should not be calling it a conflict. It's a genocide.
Israeli historians.
And Israel's perception of itself is of a very decent, liberal, peace-loving country, which was surrounded by predatory Arabs. And it had no choice but to stand up and defend itself. So this is a defensive war. And there is great reluctance to look at the dark side of this war, particularly at the ethnic cleansing that happened in 1948. The broader historical context for this film is the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. In 1948, over 500 villages, Arab villages, were destroyed. 750,000 Palestinians were made refugees. Benny Morris counted 28 massacres, of which Tantura is only one. So it's not an isolated episode.
Israeli human rights organizations inside and outside of the country who have condemned this, who have also spoken up, have you taken a deeper look into this? And what they had to say. So these are not people who are following the way of the prophets, even though they are using the Bible, using this to try to justify this Holocaust, to justify this extermination of a people. This is not something that God Almighty, this is, we have in the Quran where God Almighty is telling us, woe to those who write the book with their hands. We know that the previous scriptures were changed, altered. You know, when they quote, when you have even rabbis and you have others, it's unfortunate on this side that follow not the prophet, one of the mightiest messengers sent to mankind, Moses, peace be upon him, who's one of the most mentioned prophets in the Quran. You think he would go ahead and support this? Do you think now that they would stand behind this?
Only innocent people that are in Gaza now are the 229 hostages that were taken. Once they will go back to Israel, we will bomb Shifa Hospital, all the hospitals, all the tunnels, and kill them all. It's about time.
These are people who follow a prophet by the name of Theodore Herzl, not Prophet Moses. These are those same people who change the text to justify. So when they quote verses like Samuel 1,
there is no permission from the Torah to have any mercy whatsoever during war. Not on children, not on women, not on anybody.
And come in when they come into the town and annihilate men, women, children, donkey, horse, whatever is alive, just destroy it. And you sing it, right? And people are not making the connections. You see people, that you see the man getting up there and them, and they're talking about annihilating a whole people and using the Bible to justify it. Where is the outrage?
You must remember what Amalek has done to you, says our Holy Bible. And we do remember, and we are fighting. Our brave troops and combatants who are now in Gaza or around Gaza and in all other regions in Israel are joining this chain of Jewish heroes, a chain that has started 3,000 years ago from Joshua ben Nun.
No, so these are not the people following the example of the prophets. No, because God Almighty sent them with the same message, to worship the Creator, not the creation, to be morally upright. And what kind of morals are these? Killing indiscriminately innocent men, women, and children. This is something that is an abomination. This is something that's evil. And this is something that even though now they're trying to use it there, these are those texts that have been altered and changed because the scriptures that we have, what we have of those, they have been altered and changed. That's why God Almighty, and this is an example of it, because there's no way that the all-loving, the most merciful creator of the heavens and earth is going to give people like this a green light. And most of these people don't even believe in God. This whole movement was started by people who are atheists, void of God. This is a nationalistic supremacy movement, because people of God, you have good Jewish people, you know, good Christians. You have people of God who truly, not now people who are trying to endorse this, justify this, seeing this evil take, good people who are seeing this evil taking place and their hearts are alive. They have some kind of moral compass. Still, it's working. They see that the all just is not going to give a green light to this in these injustices. This is pure evil, man. This is just evil. So, Arnold, it's your call. Take a deep dive. You probably get some now, some love from the Muslims who will help to facilitate. Maybe share. Maybe you don't have a Muslim friend. Meet a Muslim. Meet someone, a Palestinian, someone who can go ahead and educate you in this matter, because a person can live almost like you your whole life. And you've been just following the mainstream narrative. You got to take a deeper dive. There's so many documentaries. There's so many people who've done some sincere, independent investigating reporting on this. It's like a detective. You look at one side, and you're like, hold on, okay, something here. It goes to the other side. He gets a clearer picture. Goes again back to the other side. Here's the same talking points. Then he goes back, and then he's like, hold on. He's starting to see how these things are falling apart. There's a context to it. It's not this whole narrative that's been given to him is not adding up, but you have to take that first sincere step to go ahead and to get the whole picture, because it's not something that's confusing and vague. They try to make it like that. It's something very straightforward and clear. If you want to know the truth, you're sincere, you're humble-hearted. And more importantly, we made a video for you, Arnold. You can just type in Arnold Schwarzenegger, for those who haven't seen that. Put Islam in front of his name, and we invited him to the way of Moses, to the way of Jesus, to the way of Abraham, that complete and total submission and surrender to the creator of the heavens and earth, submission to the will of God in one world that's defined as Islam. And then when you look into this, you might, like Liam Neeson had once said,
Stanley thought maybe Islam's the answer.
And I want to leave you with this, a message from a Jew himself. He says, as a Jew, I've been to many Holocaust museums. They often have a pile of shoes or clothing of those who were killed. It's painful to see. It's moving. One day there will be a museum to remind us of all the genocide that's been perpetuated against the Palestinians. It very well might have a pile of thousands of children's shoes. Will you be able to say you did what you could to stop the massacre? Will you? You have a great responsibility, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and your time is almost up. You're at the end of the road of life. You should do some good in the world. Ask the creator of the heavens and the earth alone for guidance, and be a voice for justice, a voice, true voice for peace. Thank you very much. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about, and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Brothers and sisters, we've all had loved ones that passed away. A mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a close family member. But one of the mercies of our deen is that with the right intention, we can go ahead and continue to do good deeds on our loved ones' behalf. And what greater of a continuous good deed, sadaqah jariyah, then investing on their behalf in the Deen Center, a masjid and mega dawah center that will benefit generations to come, inshallah. So click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.